Matthew 6:24. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. What is the main reality of our lives? Is it life on this earth, or is it heaven? In some ways, it's a bit of a strange question, because how can we know heaven to be our main reality when it's a reality we have never known? We can't truly have a perspective which incorporates a heavenly perspective on life, because we've never been to or seen heaven. When I think about what heaven will be like, I can see myself at times shaking my head at many of the decisions that I have made throughout this life on earth and think, oh, what on earth was I doing? How silly was that? Or maybe even stronger language, who knows? So we can to some degree imagine living in heaven after this life, but whether or not we can imagine heaven is not really the point. The point is that Jesus tells us that there is a life after this one, and there are consequences in that life based on what decisions we make in this life. And Jesus' perspective on this is that this life barely measures a blip of importance compared to our life to come. Now, I said I have no experience of this future reality, and I guess neither do any of us here. So why would we give up the tangible things in this life for an intangible future? But this is the perspective Jesus is asking us to take on board, that this life is of small importance, and we should concern ourselves more with the heavenly reality to come. Let's be real. The only reason we have confidence in believing that there is a heaven and a life to come which is worth giving up this life for is because Jesus said so. This is where faith comes in. Faith is trusting in the words and perspective of Jesus. We trust that he is the Son of God and the Son of Man. We trust that he knows what he's talking about, because he came from heaven. We trust that he is being faithful. We trust that his perspective of our lives and what is truly important is the correct view to have of our lives. Jesus says to Nicodemus in John 3, verses 11 to 13, I tell you the truth of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has seen heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. And Jesus, having existed in heaven as the divine word of God, this gives him a perspective on this life which incorporates his understanding of heaven. This gives Jesus a unique insight into what really is important. And this is a perspective which we can never fully fathom until we also have been in and seen the heavenly kingdom. At one level, this can produce thoughts of doubt. How can you know Jesus really does know what is best, or even can Jesus and God be trusted? They might be lying to trick everyone, like a big cosmic joke. But then just as quickly as that thought of doubt comes across, the next thought comes, well, for me anyway. Well, I guess I have to make a bet. I can bet on God and Jesus being loving and faithful, as they've always been found to be, or I can bet on this thought of doubt against all the evidence of God and Jesus' love and faithfulness. Sorry, Satan, you don't have a good track record. And Jesus does. Nice try, but I'm trusting Jesus. So whether you can trust Jesus or not is one level to this. But a whole other level is whether we're willing to give up chasing after good things in this life and follow Jesus. Because this is what Jesus is asking us to do. Jesus is asking us here in today's Bible reading to give up things in this life which we want. And they're things that we can see and touch, and things which we can know and understand for a possible future life that we have never seen, touched, known, or understood. And I think this is hard for us to do. Not that that is to give you an excuse, it's just a practical reality. But nevertheless, Jesus' perspective is that we should make heaven our priority and seek building heavenly wealth over earthly wealth. Now, what this means for us is that we are not to make building earthly wealth the priority of our lives. In fact, Jesus says here that you cannot chase after wealth and follow Jesus at the same time. You cannot love wealth and God. Because God will ask you to give generously your money to those in need. So you will either be willing to give up your wealth out of your love for God, or you will despise God for asking you to give up your money rather than keeping it for yourself. And what Jesus reveals here is that if we use our wealth that we generate to generously give to those who are in need, then this will result in God rewarding you with treasure in heaven. But it isn't only about giving up the chasing of wealth, the chasing of money and things and possessions. This is about giving up all of our lives. You don't have to have money to give away to store up treasure in heaven, of course. You only need to serve God faithfully and follow Jesus in whatever God has in mind for you to do. But if you have wealth, which of course most of us do, then this means a willingness to always be generous. I was recently challenged in this when I heard about a common perspective of Christians in the early church. It was not considered radical for Christians to consider that if they owned two cloaks, one belonged to them and the other belonged to someone in need. And how many cloaks do we own? You see, it's easy to say, yes, Jesus, I'm going to follow you and put you first. But when you hear of such a spirit of generosity, such as that which existed in the early church and maybe in other places of the world today where there is much poverty, it's confronting. And it is something we have to always seriously consider as people who live in the wealthiest time of human history and in one of the wealthiest countries in the world. We will no doubt return to this challenge of Jesus for us at a later date, because Jesus teaches quite a bit about money. But where I really want to challenge us this morning is to consider, is my faith in Jesus as such that I am willing to give up pursuing earthly wealth because I trust Jesus fully? That his words give us the true, correct perspective on life and on what is of importance. And stemming out of that belief, be willing to give up earthly joys, comforts, and security. Out of that belief, prioritize our heavenly life to come, even though this life is all we have ever really known and experienced, and the life to come is in large part an unknown mystery. Do you trust Jesus to lead you in how to live your life, believing that he has come down from heaven, has what is best in mind for you, and will take you to be with him in the heavenly kingdom? Amen.